Welcome back to the Split Screen Podcast. On this episode, I'll be doing a spoiler and rant-filled review of the latest Bollywood movie, Suryavanshi. Coming up right after this. My name is Shah Shaheed. I am an entertainment writer, movie and TV critic, Bollywood blogger, and a filmy father, but also the host and producer of the Split Screen Podcast. Now, this will be your one and only warning. This is going to be a very spoiler-filled review of Suryavanshi, the latest in the Rohit Shetty cop universe, is what it's called, which is kind of stupid, because why wouldn't you just call it the Shettyverse? But I guess it's too easy to call it the shitty verse. So I get it. Bullet dodged. The movie itself is out right now on Netflix in Canada. I'm not sure what platform it's out on everywhere else. If you haven't seen the movie yet and you don't want to be spoiled, which what does it matter? Then subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else. Go watch the movie and then you can come on back to listen to this episode. So like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about Suryavanshi, and boy, is there a lot to talk about. First things first, Suryavanshi is, like I mentioned, directed by Rohit Shetty. Rohit Shetty is the guy behind, Dilwale, the Golmaal movies, the Singham movies, an acclaimed Bollywood director. No, I'm kidding. I like the guy. I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but I don't mind his movies. The movies have been written, but the screenplay for Suryavanshi is written by Yunus Sajawal, and dialogue and story by Rohit Shetty, as well as Sanchit Bedre, Vidhi Ghodgaonkar, and Farhad Samji. All talent that have lent their sort of, their credits include other movies by Rohit Shetty, Dilwale, Chennai Express, the Singham and Golmaal movies, like I mentioned. The movie stars in its leading roles Akshay Kumar, Katrina Kaif, as well as in supporting roles many other prominent names, which I will return to, because if there's nothing worth talking about in Suryavanshi, it is the sort of all-star supporting cast, which we'll come back to. The movie itself is about... where do I start? Holy shit. It's a very convoluted plot about the 1993 Mumbai bomb blasts and basically how the blasts affected the city and the country and shaped, just like any terrorist attack usually does, how it shaped the sort of political and sort of anti-terrorism laws of that nation going forward. You've got the anti-terrorist squad head by Akshay Kumar's titular character, Veer Suryavanshi. And essentially, this story is about how those bomb blasts, the people that were behind those bomb blasts essentially returned to Mumbai to create more terrorism. And, they have to stop them, I guess. The bombs they buried in 93 are back in play. And I don't know, man, it's honestly, it's a lot of shoe leather. It's a lot of setup to essentially get to. I mean, the only reason this movie seems to exist is so we could have a crossover with Singham and Simba, all Rohit Shetty movies that sort of come together, which, the crossover I would have liked to seen, which would have been a lot more fun. The Singham movies, because there's been three of them, or four, I don't know, three of them, cross that over with, the Golmaal movies. Because that would have been like a weird genre mashup that would have been fun to see, right? It seemed pointless to do a crossover and create this cop universe with Singham, who's had three movies with Ajay Devgan, Simba with Ranveer Singh, who's had the one movie, and now you just have this other movie set up to sort of bring those characters in. Didn't make sense. But let's get into sort of my actual review of this movie. If you can't tell by the tone so far, I didn't like it. I was not a fan. And it's not because, like, I mean, I'll give you guys a quick sort of primer, right? It's not because I'm not going to hate on this movie because I don't like Rohit Shetty movies, right? This isn't going to be, you know, coming from that perspective of I just hate watch something that I normally wouldn't have watched just so I can review it and, you know, talk shit about it and see how clever I can be shitting on a movie that I wouldn't have liked to begin with. That's not true at all. Like I mentioned earlier, I do like some Rohit Shetty movies. Dilwale was trash, but watchable. Like, you know, it's watchable in a group setting where you just want to look at pretty people being pretty. You know, Shah Rukh Khan rocking a beard, you know, out of context, looking badass, Varun Dhawan being stupid. Everyone's pretty. The songs are not bad. So in that perspective, it's watchable. Chennai Express, I might get some shit for this, but to me, Chennai Express is one of the last great Shah Rukh Khan performances in the modern era, in a non-period setting, as a romantic lead, which I think worked. And again, I'm not counting Rais here because that was more of a sort of a crime drama. I'm talking about it was a love story movie where I think he played an effectively flawed, troubled, you know, non-traditional Bollywood hero, which really worked for me. So again, the point of it is, I am not a Rohit Shetty hater. I also love that he's given the misnomer of being, you know, the Bollywood Michael Bay, which I don't think is fair, because his movies don't lack depth. You know, there's certain aspect, there's definitely a certain connective thread through all his movies, which is the stunts, which I do think he comes from a stunt background, so why wouldn't he lean on that? I do like, there was a featurette he did for Dilwale, where he really highlighted the stuntmen of Bollywood, which is definitely an industry that, even in Hollywood, is very underrepresented, very underappreciated. So I do like the guy for doing shit like that. His comedy sometimes is a hit and miss for me, but still kind of works. He's definitely a smart guy as a director, and his movies reflect that intelligence. They're just not always for me. So coming back to Suryavanshi, this is a bad movie, not because it's a Rohit Shetty movie. This is a bad movie comparing it against Rohit Shetty movies. Like, this is a bad movie when you judge this movie based on Rohit Shetty movie standards, which I'm not sure what happened here, which is why it definitely does feel like it was an attempt to do a cop verse versus trying to tell a story with this movie on its own. Everyone, the most glaring part of it that you notice right away is that everyone's really bad. Like, the performances suck. Like, hard. No matter what you say about Akshay Kumar movies, you know, you like him, you hate him, you know, whatever, you know, mock his Canadian citizenship, but the dude can act, right? And he never disappoints with his performance, at least. He's always, you know, funny, goofy, silly, you know, romantic, action-packed, heroic, idealistic, whatever you want to call it. Whatever movies of his you watch, you could hate the movie, but Akshay Kumar usually sort of does a solid performance. But even in this here, like 10 minutes in, you're like, what is happening? Like, why does he look like he's being blackmailed to do this movie? He does not seem like he's into it at all. The moments where he does sort of get to revert to his, you know, his own sort of mannerisms, his own comedy sort of stylings, you know, that there's a scene in a hospital where one of his underlings in the anti-terrorist squad wants to lie down on the medical bed, and he's like, haha, pelja, which is fucking hilarious. Like, that's what you, it's just one word, but like the way he delivers it, you're like, yeah, this is the Akshay Kumar that I'm used to. Which, you know, the Hera Feri Akshay Kumar. But yeah, like, and again, I feel like a lot of that has to do, I don't know if this is the first time Rohit Shetty did or got a dialogue credit, but some of the shit in this movie that people say, you're like, woo, someone open a window. Like, holy shit, it's bad. Even Katrina Kaif? I don't know. I've never actually had to say these names out loud in a recorded format before, so this is new. Even Katrina, like, before, back at, like, her acting has improved leaps and bounds in the decades she's been in the industry. But for whatever reason, this performance takes you back to like the first 2 years of her in Bollywood, where it's wooden. It's like the delivery is like just not landing. Nothing's working. The lines she's saying, is just like not coming across, and it's not her Hindi, it's not the accent, it's just like no one's here on the top of their game. Like absolutely, everything is just god awful in the performance, and I don't know why. I don't know what direction these people got, but it's not cool. Not cool at all. Coming to the story of the movie, first of all, it would also be unfair to call Suryavanshi another sort of, you know, hating on Muslims sort of a movie, because it is not that jingoistic, even though it is totally preachy and totally fucking like, you know, India, greatness, Indian Muslims, amazing, Pakistani Muslims, though, bad. But the shitty part about it is the movie does this thing where they showcase what I'm assuming is real life images, pictures, and footage from what looks like the real life bombings, the terrorist bombings that they refer to in the movie. So you get like a sense of like it's a documentary or it's supposed to, it's trying to be this really dramatic, you know, real world based sort of film, which it's not at all. So I don't know why they were trying to do that. But the other part of it is that the movie is really irresponsible in its portrayal of certain thoughts and ideas that it's putting forth when it comes to terrorism and terrorists and sort of their religious backgrounds. There's a scene in the beginning in the narration where basically a cell of terrorists from Pakistan have come to India and they're a splinter cell. They've created lives here and they're waiting for, you know, to be activated. And there's a line where the narrator, which is Ajay Devgan, I think, Singham himself, which why, where he says that, you know, The splinter cell of Pakistani Muslims have come to India and they're living their lives and you won't even know who they are. They could be your watchman, your teacher, and blah, 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 blah. They're everyday people you get together with. And to me, personally, I think that's really fucking irresponsible because you're essentially spreading Islamophobia by saying that, you know, very casually, that, yeah, the Muslims that you associate with in everyday life in India could potentially be terrorists. Like, what the fuck? That to me was a little fucked up. And the thing that I can't excuse is the movie's not aware that it's doing it. Because in another scene, Akshay Kumar does a very fucking cheesy ass speech about like, look at this Indian Muslim who was a police officer for 30 years. This is what Indian Muslims are. And to me, it's like, you're not understanding the damage you're doing with the story you're trying to tell. Because yes, you are explicitly stating one message, but you're implying something a lot worse, a lot more damaging, which is contradictory to the thing that you're having your main lead say out, like fucking like chati tange kind of a thing. I don't like that. I didn't like that. I thought, you know, more so than any Bharat Mahan type of movie, I thought that was really irresponsible for a movie like this, set in modern times, set in a city, set in, you know, that kind of a storyline. I think it's really fucking irresponsible to sort of say shit like that because you are spreading the thing that you're trying to preach against. And the fact that you don't realize that, I think, is really stupid. And you shouldn't be talking about these things and making a story and a movie on these topics if you're not well aware of how you're going to portray it. And if you don't think 25,000 times about how it's going to come off to an impressionable audience, to an audience in a country that is still very tense with these issues. And I don't think the movie understands that at all, which to me is the biggest detractor for Suryavanshi. But let's talk about the other shit that the movie also gets wrong and sucks at. There's also this huge sort of, I want to say misogynistic vibe to the movie. First of all, Katrina's character totally sort of vilified and like villainized as like, you know, the one causing the tension in the relationship. And I'll tell you why. And again, like I mentioned, this is spoilers, right? There's a scene where Akshay Kumar goes to fight terrorists in a mall while his kid and wife is in the car. Okay? He knows that they're in a mall, the terrorists. He goes to fight them. And his logic is, I'm just going to have you guys wait in the car while I go into the mall. Unfortunately, they run into the terrorists right in front of them. There's a massive shootout, face to face with the terrorists. They're facing each other. His kid is in the back seat, and Suryavanshi starts trying to blow the terrorists' heads off. Which is cool. Great. Yeah, man. You're the fucking man. Obviously, the worst happens. His son gets shot. And here's the fucked up part, right? The dude tries to justify it. Like, the kid's in the hospital. Katrina's freaking out, losing her shit because it's her kid. And when she comes out to tear him a new one, he's fucking justifying it. He's like, I didn't know they'd be in the parking lot. I was going to make you guys wait in the car. But you got to understand, like, I know our fucking whatever 7-year-old got shut up. But if I let these guys go, that would have hurt a lot more people. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me? And the fucked up part is, everyone else in the movie, totally on his side. The police chief, you know, Surya Vanshi's boss, played by Javed Jaffrey, tries to intervene to explain to her that, hey, no, listen. And she has to cut him off and be like, no, fuck you. And then after that was a flashback. So throughout the movie, we get the sense that obviously after that, she's like, fuck you, you're a danger to my kid and to me. This is not going to work out, which she's absolutely 185% justified in doing. But the movie makes her seem like she's a homewrecker. She is destroying this beautiful family. And blah, poor Akshay, poor Suryavanshi. His wife is leaving. She's being so unreasonable. What a crazy, evil woman who got mad that her kid got shot in the name of country and nation and duty. Like, wow, what a terrible person. Like, what the fuck? Like, that pissed me off so much. And the thing is, it doesn't even end there. They keep doubling down on it, which is just even more infuriating. Because, hold on, let me dial it down to like 7. So what they do is, there's a scene where basically, you know, there's one of the wives of Suryavanshi's underlings tells him that, you know, I would never let my husband be a cop if he wasn't under your guidance. If you weren't out there protecting him. So near the third act of the movie, Katrina needs Akshay Kumar's character to do something for her. For her, their family. And he keeps being late. He keeps, you know, neglecting his responsibility as a father and a husband, which by this point in the story should be no fucking surprise, right? Because the guy's not even remorseful that his kid got shot up because of him. By the way, also, what police department justifies opening fire in a public civilian area, endangering the life of not just his kid and his family in the car, but anyone else? And he doesn't even get yelled at by his boss. His boss is justifying it. No, it's terrorism. It's good. All is fair in terrorism. Justified. Anyways, whatever. I'm getting... Anyways. So Akshay Kumar has to go to not go on a mission, but to go off with Katrina to do, you know, whatever she needs him to do because she's leaving the country. So he doesn't go on the mission, and obviously, on that mission that he couldn't go to because Katrina's, you know, what a bee, making him do things that he promised he was going to do for her, someone ends up dying on this mission. You know, and the implication is, well, this person died because Akshay's character wasn't there, you know, which the movie basically says is Katrina's fault. This is further then driven home at the funeral of this cop. His wife has a heart-to-heart with Katrina, essentially guilt-tripping the fuck out of her, talking about how my husband is dead, my kid does not have a father anymore, but I'm still proud, this is his duty and nation, you should be thankful for what you have, because at least you still have a family, I knew what I was getting into, and I married a cop, and like, that whole propaganda speech of like, yeah, his life... Like, I no longer have my husband, but his life was given the line of duty, so everything, all above the nation, blah, 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 blah. And again, just guilt-tripping her for being upset at the fact that her husband put his work in front of the kid's life, their kid's life, and their marriage. And then she comes around to that realization, obviously, that, okay, I was in the wrong. You were right. Like, it's, boy. It's such an infuriating story, like arc for not just like, my head will explode if I keep going. It's just really shitty. And again, in contrast to another movie this year that came out, that was a hell of a lot more, you know, perceivably a lot more propaganda-like, which was Sher Shah with Siddharth Malhotra. And in that movie, spoilers for Sher Shah if you haven't seen it, one warning, I'm just giving you a quick spoiler for that ending of the movie, the character does die. But the great thing about that movie, one of the things I loved about that movie, is that in that entire movie, the main character was the only one who was gung-ho about his service in the military. Everyone else, his parents, his wife, and his friends, were very upset when he died. No one was, you know, waving a flag of Indian nationalism and pride going, I am proud that my son gave his life for the country. They were pissed, angry, grieving, mourning, and very distraught at having lost their loved one, which is the natural reaction. You don't fucking sit there trying to serve the main hero's love story angle in the movie by relating your trauma to fucking what's going on with Surya Vanshi and Katrina Kaif. Like, it's hollow, it's shallow, it's artificial, and completely, completely unnecessary. All right. I also have to say that the undercover cops of the anti-terrorist squad are the worst undercover cops ever. Because they are the most obvious people. Anytime they're staking out someone, they are like looking around their shoulder. They're looking around like, oh, what's going on? And anytime someone looks at them, they're like, oh, look at my watch. Oh, look at that bird over there. Like, it's so fucking obvious. And literally every scene where they're surveying someone and they're supposed to go arrest them or go converge on them or whatever the fuck, every single time the bad guy gets tipped off by their fucking obvious dumbass behavior. There's one scene in particular where they're in a hotel. They're tailing a terrorist. There's two of them. The dude is an old guy by himself. He notices them. They notice him noticing them. And instead of just fucking going up to him, and he was like 5 feet away, they're just like flabbergasted. Oh my God, he saw us. Oh yeah, he's looking at us. Don't look. Oh my God. Like, it's the weirdest fucking thing. And then more of them converge on the same situation and the same location. And they just let the guy walk by them and just go in the elevator. There's literally like 12 of them in a hotel lobby with this one old dude. No one else around. The guy walks by the undercover cops and they do nothing. And then a culmination of that scene is the dude ends up killing himself with a room full of cops who are pointing a gun at him. And this guy's gun is not even on his head. It's down. And he's able to lift the gun up, shoot himself in the head before any of these cops can react or get a shot off. Which, fucking ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. All right, let's talk about the good stuff. Because I can feel my blood pressure going up. So let's wrap this review up with talking about the good stuff. I did mention the supporting cast of this movie is insane in so many ways. First of all, you've got, like I mentioned, Javed Jafri, who doesn't do much. He's funny when he shows up. But it was really cool seeing Gulshan Grover on screen after a long time playing another evil terrorist guy. But again, just seeing Grover on screen after a long time was really cool. Kumud Mishra plays that old terrorist guy that kills himself, like I mentioned. Great performance. Again, not talking about the context of these performances of these characters against this fucking terrorism nonsense. Great, great actor. Does a great role, does a great performance, gets a small little story arc about his life and his ummi and all this stuff, which is kind of cool. Jackie Shroff shows up as a big bad, which, by the way, seems to be setting up like a Singham sequel, a continuation of Singham versus Jackie Shroff in Singham 4, which is weird and totally unexpected, but it's like, okay, I guess that was another reason this movie got made. You've got Abhimanyu Singh, another one of those sort of amazing character actors who's playing another terrorist guy, which... cool, no big deal. Yeah, man, and you've got, like, you know, guys like Sikandar Kher, who shows up in, like, a little bit part. Rajendra Gupta, he shows up as that Muslim cop that I was talking about, you know, who's there for that one soliloquy that Akshay had. Asif Basra is in here. You've got Vivan, that big guy that that Amir Khan fought in Dangal. I mean, it's a sort of lot of recognizable faces, which sort of makes that the movie more fun and sort of recognizable. Like, you get to see the guys that you kind of already know and you're like, oh, hey, this is nice. Honestly, though, the movie does not pick up until like the last, I want to say 20, 25 minutes, which is the climax scene, which is what I think the reason of this movie was, which is the crossover and introduction of Ranveer Singh, Simba, and Ajay Devgan, Singham. And honestly, those moments are worth it. Like, they do homages and callbacks to those movies. Honestly, I didn't see Simba because I don't feel like I need to justify my reasons for skipping that one. I did see Singham enough times with my dad that it's sort of, I have Stockholm syndrome with that movie. Like, I like it because I've just been exposed to it over and over and over again. But Simba I didn't watch. However, I liked the dynamic that these three characters had when they finally got on screen. I liked that they follow their own hierarchy of their status, of the status of the actors in the industry, where Akshay Kumar and Ajay Devgan were like buddies. They're on the same sort of level, so they're playing the same. They respect each other as cops. Whereas you've got Simba, who is basically Ranveer Singh, the fawning fanboy, you know, the subordinate to these senior cops, and he is just annoying the fuck out of them. I loved it. Ranveer Singh, to me, saves the movie. Forget the action sequences, forget the fucking shootout of them back to back with fucking rocket launchers and other nonsense. Their interaction, their interplay, their dialogue bazi, the back and forth, the hilariousness. Oh my god, like, so funny. So funny. I mean, even Ajay Devgan is funny when he's pitted against Ranveer Singh being obnoxious, and like, his delivery is back and forth. It's really good. It's really good. I even pitched, I mean, listen, if anyone's listening that is in Bollywood, if you're listening, I'm going to pitch you a Simba and Singham crossover, like a buddy cop movie, which writes its fucking self. You literally just let Ranveer do whatever the fuck you want in the story, and that's it. Like, it writes itself. I mean, it can be Main Khiladi Tu Anaari, the sequel in spirit, you know, whatever you want to do. I think Ranveer Singh in this was, like, so much so, guys, I'm going to go watch Simba. But I don't know how that's going to work when it's just Ranveer on his own. You know what I mean? So I think I'll be annoyed with that. But in this context, with these two other straight men characters, it worked. It worked really good. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about Suryavanshi. Again, terrible, 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 terrible movie. Don't know why this was made, except to seemingly launch Singham 4, seemingly launch this cop universe, which, like, I'm still waiting for the Yash Raj cop shared universe, spy shared universe, with fucking Ekta Tiger's, you know, Salman's Tiger, with, you know, Hrithik from War. Come on, Kabir. Like, give me that crossover. Give me that shared universe. You know, bring in fucking Rani's Mardani character. Like, come on. Like, give me that shared universe of fucking police officers kicking ass and taking names. That's what I want to see more than this hot pile of garbage. Irresponsible, dangerous movie, terrible depiction of Muslims, preachy as shit. And honestly, the only part worth watching is the last scene where the other characters show up. Honestly, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make my kids, I'm going to not make them suffer through the whole thing and just let them watch that last scene where, you know, Ranveer Singh shows up with Ajay Devgan, and that's it. It's literally an out of context sequence that needs no explanation. Good guys saving Katrina from bad guys. That's all you fucking need to know. And that's the only thing worth watching in Suryavanshi. All right, guys, thank you so much for putting up with this spoiler review of Suryavanshi on this episode of the Split Screen Podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more of my Bollywood reviews, please subscribe to the Split Screen Podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Please leave me a 5-star review and rating on Apple Podcasts, so that way, after watching shit like this, you guys can help my blood pressure come down, because I really, really need that right now. I've been your host for today. My name is Shah Shaheed. And to pitch me your ideas of a Bollywood shared universe, what do you want to see? What characters do you want to come together in a crossover, in a sort of shared spy movie, romantic love story? I don't know what kind of universe you want. Pitch me all those ideas on my social media. I'm available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Shah Shaheed. And if you want to hear more about my thoughts on non-Bollywood content, things like movies, TV, Star Wars, Star Trek, anime, and so much other stuff, check out all my work at comicears.com. Thank you once again, and until the next episode, see you then.